Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, stuff works. It's amazing. You think we'd get better service for $1.95 a month. Good evening! And welcome to Erie House Radio. I almost said Oldie Tiny. That's Friday's show. Old Time Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with...
That's what you get for paying to come in the back door, Dale. Dave Bickley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here along with the lovely, intelligent.
And delightful.
This is CW once again on the highways and byways trying to see... Well, yeah, I need to put my headlights on because I can't see anything, which leads into the theme of the show.
That's right.
There you go. Keep it in the theme.
This is still yet another show that you can't see. Sorry. Not allowed to see.
You can
this
see
one.
There's just you can see it just kind of disappears right before your very ears.
Woo! Yeah.
However, if you are logged in to the Blog Talk site there, check out the slideshow. There's some fun pics in there. I added some last minute ones. Due to a shortage of time, thanks to not only Blog Talk, but GLW Broadband, my cable and internet provider. GLW stands for Gradually Losing Watchers. And not Grafton LaGrange Wellington, as one might think. But no. Gradually losing watchers, because... Yeah, we were out of juice for almost 20 hours. It was like horrors.
Wow.
But tonight.
Yeah, and then on top of that, all the craziness that was going on at Blog Talk.
Yeah.
Oh,
we apologize for the introduction last night, but we're on board and ready to go today.
Seems to be working.
And we've been advised to beware of potential rough language for the kiddies. CW is truly on the road.
I am indeed. In my part of the cosmos, there seems to be some sort of event that I'm not aware of going on where people are in my way. They have no consideration because I'm on the road. The road belongs to me. They just haven't been informed of that yet.
Yeah. Didn't you get the memo? Fogsby
yeah.
And good old Bob got the memo. They're here with us today. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Hi, Fogsby.
Hello?
Ugga bugga boo, ugga boo boo ugga.
There you go.
And to all the other netizens out there who can sympathize and empathize with the fact that when you are driving the speed limit and someone decides to just stop,
because
they can.
Yep. And in about 90 minutes, it'll be blah, blah time as well. But that's after this show. Wrench.
Yes, after this show.
Which
and
is
an
cool.
Interesting tale we do have tonight about things that just keep disappearing from what
yeah,
they're originally looking to for the, all the other things that, you know, that are looking for that disappeared thing.
I need clarification, Dave. On the schedule, the title of our show from CBS Radio Mystery Theater is The Wonder Boy, yet...
That's right.
It's labeled Boy Wonder in the studio.
Oh,
so I
apologize. No, this is not about Robin. It is Wonder Boy.
Then disregard the picture of Robin in the slideshow.
Wait a minute. It is a Boy Wonder. Yeah, no, you know, actually, you're right. It is the Boy Wonder. I just look at sitting here at the CBS Radio Mystery Theater site, and you are indeed correct. It is the Boy Wonder.
I'm not correct. I was looking for clarification. I was way up in the air.
Oh, holy old time radio, Batman.
Not the usual reasons. Oops.
That actually makes more sense than the title than Boy the Wonder Boy. You know, because
Wonder
Boy, the Wonder
Boy
superhero. I thought the Wonder Boy was like the kid that was eating bread on those commercials, you know?
Could be.
Eating
could
Wonder
be.
Bread that, yeah, yeah. that helps build body in seven important ways. but you know, they weren't allowed to, the FTC stopped them from using that advertisement. For the plain and simple rule is, actually, so does all other bread. It doesn't do anything different than the other breads do. So they weren't allowed to say it, even though it were true.
Amazing world we live in.
Yeah. Ah, yes.
And now nothing is allowed to be true.
Oh, yes. Case being, people actually did win a lawsuit against that company that said, when you drink it, it gives you wings. It does not give you wings.
Oh, did somebody actually sue them over that? They didn't get wings?
That's true, and they won.
I have no wings. I wonder what he got.
It was a class action lawsuit, so the lawyers are the ones who made out the best.
Well, yeah, the lawyers are the ones that make out in class action. Everyone else gets $3.77 if they're lucky.
Yep.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's just revenge stuff at that point. Nah, my revenge comes much more expensive than $3.77.
Yeah.
I'll take my case, and you have to graft some wings onto my back here. And now that I'm older and a little heavier, they better have a lot of updraft. That's all I got to say.
No kidding.
Yes, sir. So the Boy Wonder, it is going to be all about Robin tonight.
No. The Boy Wonder is about a different Boy Wonder, not the Robin and or Master
Wonder,
Dick or whatever, you know, whatever he is known as in the comics and such. That's what Alfred called him.
Mad at him. You know what?
Well,
yes, Master. Grayson, yeah, I can't even say it now. I'm
glad I can ruin everyone's night. That's what I'm here for. Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. Boy Wonder. Not a kid in tights. No, sir. No, sir.
No tights. No. Although he's trying to extract himself from a tight situation. How's that?
There you go. Any voices of note, Dave, for this?
I think a lot of these usual suspects. We have William Redfield, Robert Dryden, Dan Oko, and this was written by Alfred Bester, who's written a few, several of the mystery theaters.
And this one was originally broadcast. Way back.
April 6th of 1976.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
That's what I needed.
Come in. Welcome.
Thanks.
I'm E.G. Marshall.
I'm Dale Kay.
Major domo of this mansion of the mysterious and the macabre.
Macabre.
This is the story
macabre.
Of a search for
macabre.
A wild talent. You'll learn all there is to know about wild talents very soon, and you won't like it. In a sense, this is a treasure hunt. But the prize isn't money or jewels or pirate gold. No, nothing like that. And there isn't any ancient treasure map. No, just a very modern telephone directory which a man carries with him in his car as he drives from address to address throughout the city.
Mr. Buchanan?
Yes?
May I come up, please?
Who are you?
My name is Davis. John Davis.
What do you want?
I want to offer you a reward, Mr. Buchanan. $5,000.
What?
You heard me. $5,000. If.
If what?
Well, why don't you let me come up and tell you?
$5,000? Okay, come on up.
Yeah.
mystery drama, The Boy Wonder, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Alfred Bester and stars William Redfield and Robert Dryden. It is sponsored in part by Allied Van Lines and Sign-Off, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You know, I just thought of something.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, over 250,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, if you got all those people together, they'd probably disagree on nearly everything. Religion, politics, sports. I mean, people disagree on all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet all those people, over 250,000 of them, agree on Buicks. I think that's really socially significant, don't you?
No.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Sears announces the Great American Paint Sale. Now save $4 a gallon on Easy Living, the one-coat paint Sears used to help protect the home of Betsy Ross and Boston's Old North Church. Now save on Easy Living, Sears' best flat finish latex. It covers walls and woodwork in one coat when applied according to label instructions. And later, when it counts, washes clean like enamel. Regularly $11.99, on sale now only $7.99. A $4 savings for great American homes like yours.
Skokie, Lincolnwood, Morton Grove, Niles, Golf. These are the suburbs served by The News, a progressive newspaper in a progressive area. Whether your needs be buying, selling, renting, or hiring, the classified columns of The News are your answer. 50 years of service to the Niles Township community means they are established. In fact, the established newspaper. OR35000. You're that close to one of their trained specialists who will assist you in preparing your ad message and keep your cost to a minimum. You know what items you've put away and will probably never use again, much of it like new. Why not convert it to cash? Call the Post Leader News at OR35000 to be sure that your message is in front of thousands of readers next Thursday. That's the Post Leader News at OR35000, OR35000. This is WBBM Chicago, News Radio 78. Starry skies tonight, fair and mild, low near 41. 52 degrees right now at Midway Airport, looping like front temperature 48, humidity 39%.
Treasure hunter is named Marion Perkins Warbeck. He is an intense young man, afflicted with an education and inspired by a purpose which most people would regard as lunatic. But then they don't know about wild talents. Marion Warbeck has been telling lies about himself and his search all through the city. And he's lying now to Jason Buchanan.
Yeah.
It's me, Mr. Buchanan, John Davis, with that reward.
$5,000.
Right, but I said if. May I come in?
Sure. This way.
Thanks.
Now, what's all this, anyway?
Ah, nice apartment, Mr. Buchanan. Looks lived in. You got a family?
Yeah, yeah. Now, about that $5,000? Is this some kind of fancy put-on?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm from the Science Institute.
Never heard of it.
Well, that's understandable. We're a very quiet organization devoted to research, but we're big, Mr. Buchanan.
Yeah. So? What about the $5,000 reward?
Well, we've got a new research program fully funded to check out the flying saucer mystery.
Flying saucers?
Yes. You've heard of them.
Yeah, who hasn't, but...
Oh, I know, I know. You don't take the report seriously, but we do. Very seriously. You see, we're trying to put together firm reports of flying saucer sightings, and we're offering a $5,000 reward to reliable witnesses who will be willing to come forward and give evidence.
You guys must be crazy.
No, not at all. Have you ever seen a flying saucer?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
Anyway, that's a lot of bunk. Flying saucers?
Well, you're entitled to your opinion. Have your children ever seen them?
Hmm? What?
Your children. You do have children, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, but they...
How many?
Two. Them flying saucers never...
Are either of school age?
What?
Your children, school. Do they go to school?
Well, the boy's 28, the girl's 24. They finished school long ago.
Huh. I see. Either of them married?
Both.
Do they have families?
What's this got to do
with... Just answer the question, Mr. Buchanan. Do you have grandchildren?
Yeah, five.
Ah, living in this city?
Ah, they didn't like it here, so the families took off.
I see. Too bad.
About them flying saucers, you scientists, doctors, ought to...
We are. Thank you very much, Mr. Buchanan. Sorry about that $5,000. Don't bother to see me out. Well, that takes care of Mr. Jason Buchanan. Who's next? Let me see. Here we are. Alfred Buchanan, 776 Post Road. Yes, as listed.
Mm-hmm. Who is it?
Is Mr. Buchanan in, please?
No. Go away.
Is this Mrs. Buchanan?
Yeah. Go away.
My name is Cook, Mrs. Buchanan. David Cook. May I come in, please?
I don't let... strangers in when my husband's away.
I'm here about free prizes, Mrs. Buchanan.
What? Free?
Prizes.
For who?
You.
From who?
Well, if you'll take the chain off and let me in, Mrs. Buchanan, I'll explain.
Well, you don't look like a crook.
I'm not, ma'am. On my honor, I always tell the truth.
Come in, Mr. What'd you say your name was?
Cook. David Cook.
This way.
Thank you.
Want some coffee?
No, thank you.
Sit there. No. What's all this about prizes? Free prizes.
Well, I'm from Worldwide Broadcasters.
Never heard of them.
Oh, you will, ma'am. You will. We're preparing a list of names for prize competitions. People who would be willing to appear on shows and win prizes. You know about that, of course.
I sure do.
Would you be willing?
Who wouldn't?
Oh, indeed. Yes, who wouldn't? Have you ever won a prize in a contest?
No, I never, because I never got a chance.
Well, maybe you will now, Mrs. Buchanan. Did your husband...
Did my husband what?
Ever win a prize?
Who, Al? Never. He never got a chance either.
Well, maybe he will too. And what about your children?
Children?
Your children. Have they ever won prizes?
Ain't got no children.
Oh. Nephews named Buchanan?
Ain't got no nephews. Just me and Alf, Mr. I forget your name.
Wook. D.H. Wook. Thank you very much, Mr. Buchanan. You'll be hearing from us. Private brownstone, very elegant, very posh. This might be the hot lead. Right, well, that will be high class, too.
Yes?
I beg your pardon. Sorry to intrude. Would it be possible to see Mr. Foster Buchanan, please?
This hour?
Well, I know it's rather unconventional, but I'm from the Business Safety Council, and I...
Are you, indeed?
Oh, yes, I am, indeed. And if you'll tell Mr. Buchanan that I won't take more than 5 minutes...
I'm Buchanan.
Well, how do you do, sir? My name is Acorn. Roger Acorn. I'm here from the Safety Council.
I heard you, Mr. Acorn. Do come in.
Thank you, sir.
This way, Mr. Acorn. Tonight is servants' night out, so I'm managing myself.
Uh-huh.
I think we'll be comfortable here. Can I offer you a brandy and soda? I'm about to begin myself.
No, thank you, Mr. Buchanan.
You said 5 minutes. For what? I have great faith in the Business Safety Council. Our bulwark against the inroads of arrogant chicanery.
Well, the purpose of this interview is to inquire whether you have ever been defrauded by, in your words, arrogant chicanery.
The attempt has been made, Mr.
Acorn. Ronald Acorn.
To be sure. Attempts have been made, Mr. Acorn. I have never been victimized.
Your wife?
Never.
Your children? You do have children?
My son is hardly old enough to qualify as a victim of confidence tricksters.
Indeed. Interesting. Well, how old is he, Mr. Buchanan?
He's 10 years of age.
Uh-huh. Well, is it possible that he's been tricked at school? There are crooks who specialize in victimizing children, as we know at the Safety Council.
Not at my son's school.
He's well protected from such riffraff.
What school is that, sir?
Germanson.
One of the best. One of the very best. Did he ever attend a city public school?
Good heavens, never.
I see, I see. Any other children, Mr. Buchanan?
A daughter, 17.
Mm-hmm.
At present in Paris, studying at the Sorbonne.
Well, thank you, Mr. Buchanan. I think my time's up. Thank you for your cooperation. I'll see myself out. Enjoy your brandy and soda.
Hey, mister! Mister!
What? Who? Me?
Yeah, you, mister. Oh, could you... would you mind helping a lady in distress?
Lady in distress? Come on, I haven't used that expression since the Civil War.
Oh, honest, mister? I'm in the craziest kind of jam, and I'm scared.
Look, I've got exactly $7.50 on me. You're wasting your time.
Oh, this isn't a con, mister. Honest, it's a real jam.
Well, it better be good.
I was driving home, and I had to stop for a light back around the corner. See?
Yes.
Suddenly, a guy jumps out at my car.
Yes.
He yanks open the back door.
Yes.
Then he slams it and beats it.
And that's your jam?
No, it's what he left behind.
Uh-huh. And what did he leave behind?
A gun.
A what?
I couldn't figure it. So the first thing I did was look in the back to see if he ripped off anything. He didn't.
He didn't.
All he did was leave a gun.
And I don't believe it.
The gun's there. I saw it. I didn't dare touch it. I didn't even go near it. I got out and ran for a cop. Then you come out of that house, so I ran to you.
Are you telling the truth?
Why would I lie? Am I trying to hit you for anything?
No.
So come and look for yourself. Maybe you can figure out what I should do. Trouble is the last thing I want. Come on.
Well, I still don't believe you, Miss...
Daisy Telford.
I still don't believe you, Miss Telford, but I'm incredibly curious. My one vice.
Would I make up a story for the sake of $7.50?
You didn't know how much I had on me.
Do you look like you have more?
That hurts. Frankly, no.
So trust me a little. Here, this is my car. Go ahead. Look.
You said the back of the car?
On the floor.
Well, I don't see any gun.
On the far side, behind the driver's seat.
Oh, my. On the far side. A gun on the floor, she says. Dropped by a mysterious stranger.
Oh, Joe, you didn't have to hit him so hard. He's such a nice guy.
Daisy, baby, when Joe Davenport cools him, he cools him for keeps. Okay, let's move it out. Mr. Herod's waiting. Come on, rise and shine. Everybody up.
All right, that'll do, Joe. I think he's coming around.
You shouldn't have clobbered him so hard. He's such a nice...
He's all yours, Mr. Herod.
Mr. Warbeck. Mr. Warbeck, can you hear me? Can you respond? I won't keep you very long. You'll leave laden with apologies. Just as soon as you tell me what kind of crook you are and who's behind you.
What? Crook? Who?
Mr. Warbeck, please, pull yourself together, or Joe will have to resume with his muscle, which can't be very pleasant.
I can make it a lot less pleasant, Mr. Herod.
Mr. Warbeck, can you tell me why you, ostensibly a harmless school teacher, have suddenly decided to cut yourself in on my Buchanan caper?
The trouble with a treasure hunt, even if it's only for a boy wonder with a wild talent, is that you may blunder into something totally unexpected. But you don't know about wild talents and their incredible value yet. You'll find out in the second act, which will begin in just a few moments.
Moving on with the Allied Spirits, going to a brand new town. You're leaving the past miles behind. Yeehaw! Homeward bound. Hello tomorrow, I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day. I've got the Allied Spirit, and it feels like I'm going home. New friends to make, new seats to show. Well, I've been alive, I'm raring to go. Hello, tomorrow, I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day. I've got the allied spirit, and it feels like I'm going home.
There we are. We're back.
Okay. Yeah, we got the story. We're really going to find out what it's all about here in the second act as he's been kidnapped. A little bit about Alfred Bester, who did write this episode. He wrote seven of the Mystery Theaters, but he really was a science fiction author, TV and radio script writer, magazine editor, scripter for comic strips and comic books, best remembered for his science fiction, including The Demolished Man, winner of the inaugural Hugo Award in 1953. After his university career, 25-year-old Alfred Bester was working in public relations when he turned to writing science fiction. Bester's first published short story was The Broken Axiom, which appeared in the April 1939 issue of Thrilling Wonder Stories. After winning an amateur story contest, Bester recalled, the two editors on the staff, Mort Weisinger and Jack Schiff, took an interest in me, I suspect mostly because I just finished reading and annotating Joyce's Ulysses and would preach it. Now, they thought, it was this very same contest that Robert A. Heinlein famously chose not to enter, as was the prize. It was only $50. Heinlein realized that he could do better by selling his 7,000-word unpublished story to Astounding Science Fiction for a penny a word, or $70. Years later, Bester interviewed Heinlein for Publishers Weekly and later told of the changing of his mind for Astounding. Bester says when he replied in jest that, you son of a so-so, I won that Thrilling Wonder contest, and you beat me by $20. So there you go.
My kind of guy. Thrifty, thrifty.
Cheap. Cheap. There you go. So a little bit about Howard Bester. About, not Howard Bester, but... Alfred
the
Bester. Duck. Howard the Duck, yeah.
Yes.
Watched a documentary on that lately. I always kind of liked Howard the Duck. Yeah, I even liked the movie. I guess the only one, but I liked the movie.
Yeah, it was not well received.
That's what I said. I was the only one.
Hey, somebody had to.
Better you than me!
Yeah, Howard the Duck. Yeah, it made a nice Easter egg in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yep. That's right. I love when they have those little references and they slide it in.
Yeah.
To various movies and or TV shows.
Yes.
Yeah, we might as well get back into the boy Wonder or Wonder Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Wonder Boy.
Let's find out why this guy was just kidnapped.
Yeah. What are they going to do with this guy?
Interesting.
Part 2 of 3.
The name is Beverly. No, this Beverly is not a girl. It's a factory-approved auto tune-up shop established 20 years ago. Beverly Auto Tune-Up Service in Oak Lawn, Illinois, at 4545 West 91st Street, two blocks east of Cicero Avenue. The phone is 636-0808. When your car isn't running right and needs a tune-up, you don't have to go through the inconvenience of taking it someplace, leaving it all day, being without it, and picking it up. It can be done in 45 minutes while you wait. Call Beverly, 636-0808. Make a definite appointment for a specific time. When you arrive, the team at Beverly begins working on your car immediately. There's positively no waiting. You can watch the work being done and ask questions if you like. 45 minutes later, your car is finished. Modern equipment and genuine factory parts are used. Hours are 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Stop in and look it over and remember. Beverly's open Saturday. P.S. Call Beverly about owning your own tune-up shop. Why not put Beverly's name and number in your little black book? Beverly Auto Tune-Up Service, 4545 West 91st Street, Oaklawn, Illinois.
My wife would never forgive me.
636-0808. That's 636-0808. This is WBBM Chicago News Radio 78.
Beverly, call me anytime.
You're on a treasure hunt which involves people named Buchanan. You're trapped, slugged, and wake up in what appears to be a respectable legal office. A thief type named Joe is slapping you back to consciousness. A pretty girl named Daisy is trying to protect you. A hearty legal type named Herod wants to know all about you and your connection with people named Buchanan.
Mr. Warbeck, why have you, ostensibly a harmless schoolteacher, suddenly taken it upon yourself to cut in on my Buchanan caper? Come, come, Mr. Warbeck, no stalling, please. My name's Herod, Walter Herod, attorney at law. I've been going through your wallet. Your name is Warbeck, Marion Perkin Warbeck, right?
Yeah, that's right. My name's Warbeck, but I never admit the Marion to strangers.
Why this interest in the Buchanans?
Why yours?
I'm asking the questions. Joe's been tailing you. You've seen 5 Buchanans per night, 30 so far. What's your angle?
You got no right to kidnap me and grill me.
Your papers and ID tell me that you're a teacher by profession, assistant principal of a public school. I thought teachers were supposed to be legitimate. How did you get mixed up in the inheritance caper?
Caper?
Racket. The inheritance racket. The heirs of Buchanan caper. What are you using? The personal approach?
I don't know what you're talking about. I honestly don't know.
You're stepping on my toes, Warbeck, and I don't buy it. I'm taking $75,000 a year out of this caper, and I'm not going to let you cut in.
Now, look, I'm an educated man. Mention Galileo or the lesser Cavalier poets, and I'm right up there with you. But there are gaps in my education, and this is one of them. I can't handle the situation. Too many unknowns.
All right, I'm going to spell it out for you, Warbeck, so we'll know exactly where we stand, and you won't be able to dummy up.
Please do.
The inheritance racket is an old, long-term con. It operates like so. The story is that James Buchanan...
15th president of the United States?
Yes, the same one. Buchanan was a bachelor. The story is that he died intestate, leaving a fortune for heirs unknown.
Thrilling news.
Today, at compound interest, that estate is worth hundreds of millions... Understand?
So far.
Anybody named Buchanan is a sucker for this setup. I send them a letter. Tell them there's a chance that they may be one of the heirs.
Uh-huh.
And do they want me to investigate and protect their possible share in the estate? It only costs a small yearly retainer. Most of them buy it. And now you...
Wait a minute. Don't belabor the obvious. I can draw a conclusion. You found out I was checking Buchanan families. You think I'm trying to operate the same racket. A caper? You think I'm trying to cut in? Cut in? Yes, cut in on you?
Well, aren't you?
Oh. Heavenly guardian angel, that this should happen to me. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be forever grateful.
I think you must have made him a little crazy with that clapper, Joe.
Well... Aren't you trying to cut in?
No. I'm not cutting in on you, Mr. Herod. Look, you will accompany me to my office in the school, and I will show you why I'm interested in the Buchanan.
Now, just a minute, Warbeck. I said I'd make it up to you.
We'll have
to
use your car, Miss Telford. Mine's probably been towed away by now. Herod, I'm going into partnership with you three. You've got what I need to locate one particular Buchanan. He's 10 years old, and he's worth millions more than your phony... $100 million. Well, this is my office. Come in.
Aren't they going to ask about us being here at night?
No, Miss Telford. I often work late.
Call his closet an office?
Well, they aren't very generous to teachers, Joe. Sit down, everybody, if you can find somewhere. And this, Miss Telford and gentlemen, is my buried treasure.
You've got a million stashed in that file?
No, Mr. Harrah, just a composition.
A composition?
Worth a million more than your Buchanan fortune.
I think this clown is putting us on.
Quiet, Joe. We owe him this favor. Go ahead, Mr. Warbeck.
Thank you. Now, a school assistant principal has to supervise classes. He reviews work, estimates progress, irons out student problems, and so on. I do this by random samplings. We have 900 pupils in this school. I can't supervise them individually.
Is he supposed to be saying something?
He is, Joe. Just listen.
I'm waiting for the money talk.
Here it is, Joe. Looking through some fifth grade work last month, I came across this fantastic composition. It was written by Stuart Buchanan of the fifth grade. His age must be 10 or thereabouts. Now, the composition is entitled My Vacation. I'll read it to you, and you'll understand why Stuart Buchanan must be found.
This is the money?
Yes, Joe, this is the money. My Vacation by Stuart Buchanan. This summer, I visited my friends. I have four friends, and they are very nice. First, there is Tommy, who lives in the country, and he is an astronomer. Tommy built his own telescope out of glass 6 inches across, which he ground himself. He looks at the stars every night, and he lets me look even when it is raining cats and dogs.
Wait a minute, Warbeck, are you putting us on?
Patience. Patience. Now, let's see. Cats and dogs. We could see the stars because Tommy made a thing for over the end of the telescope which shoots up like a searchlight and makes a hole in the sky to see right through the rain and everything to the stars. Well, Mr. Harrod, what do you think of Tommy, the astronomer?
I don't understand this at all.
It couldn't be simpler. Tommy gets bored waiting for clear nights. He invented something that cuts through clouds, a funnel of vacuum, so he can use his telescope in all weather. And what it amounts to is a disintegration beam.
The hell you say?
The hell I don't. Next friend of Stuart's, and I quote, "Then I went to Aunt Mary and stayed one whole week. It was fun, because Aunt Mary has a spinach changer for spinach and beets and string beans."
What the devil is a spinach changer?
Spinach. Spinach changer. Spelling isn't one of Stuart's talents. Where was I? Oh, yes, here. "When her mother made us eat them, Aunt Mary pressed the button, and they stayed the same outside, only inside they became cake, cherry and strawberry. I asked Aunt Mary how, and she said it was by Enhev."
You've lost me.
Simple. Aunt Mary doesn't like vegetables. So she's just as smart as Tommy, the astronomer. She's invented a matter transmuter. She transmutes spinach into cake, cherry or strawberry. Cake she eats with pleasure. So does Stuart.
And you're crazy, Warbeck.
Not me. The kids. They're geniuses. There's only one label for them. They're wild talents.
Wild talent? What's wild talent?
Later. Let's finish up with Lazy Ethel. I continue to read Stuart's composition. "My friend George has a sister, Ethel, who is the laziest girl I ever saw. She is big and fat and hates to walk. So when her mother sends her to the store, Ethel thinks to the store and thinks home with all the packages and has to hang around George's room hiding until it will look like she walked both ways. George and I make fun of her because she is fat and lazy, but she gets into movies for free." The end.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Great little girl, Ethel. She's too lazy to walk, so she teleports. Then she has to hide with her packages while George and Stuart make fun of her.
Teleport?
That's right, Miss Telford. She moves from place to place by thinking her way there.
Oh.
There ain't no such thing.
There wasn't until Lazy Ethel came along. There wasn't any disintegration beam until Tommy the astronomer invented one. And Aunt Mary invented a matter transmuter because she doesn't like spinach. That, friends, is wild talent. Children accomplishing incredible things for childish reasons.
I still don't believe it. That kid's got a wild imagination, that's all.
Possibly.
You just give me 5 minutes with this Stuart Buchanan. I'm a lawyer, and I'll find out.
I had the same idea myself. I'm a teacher, and I can find out, but I can't.
Why not?
Because Stuart Buchanan's done the impossible. He's disappeared. Lock, stock, and barrel. Gone without a trace. He can't be found.
Well, which proves he was lying. You caught him in the lie and he ran.
You still think this was just his imagination, Mr. Herod?
Well, what else?
I'll tell you what else. In that part about Anne Mary. Where is it?
It's the one who doesn't like spinach.
That's the one, Miss Telford. Yeah. Ah, here. Now, quote. Anne Mary pressed the button and they stayed the same outside, only inside they became cake, cherry and strawberry. I asked Anne Mary how, and she said it was by Enhev, end quote. That's E-N-H-V.
So that's a kid's gibberish word.
Mm-mm. No, Herod. That's how Anne Mary transmuted manner.
Well, with a kook word like Enva? Come on.
No, no. Not Enva, Joe. It took time, but I figured it out. That's Planck's quantum equation. E equals NHV. One of the most abstruse concepts in theoretical physics. Well, Herod?
The kid invented that, too. That's coincidence.
That sound likely?
Well, then he read it somewhere.
10-year-old reading quantum mechanics? Nonsense.
Oh, damn it. You left me at that kid for 5 minutes.
Me too,
let...
but he's disappeared. That's why I've been checking every Buchanan in the phone book, trying to locate him. The day I read this composition and sent down for Stewart to have a talk with him, he disappeared into thin air and hasn't been seen since.
Well, what about his family?
His trouble disappeared, too. What's more, every record of their location had disappeared. A few people remember them vaguely, but that's all.
They split, huh?
Oh, the very word, Joe. Thank you. Well, what a situation. Here's a child who makes friends with child geniuses. They're making fantastic discoveries for childish purposes. Who knows? Maybe Stewart's got other friends with wilder talents.
Is this Stewart a wild talent, too?
Probably. Kids generally hang out with their peer group that shares the same interests and talents.
And what kind of genius is he?
I don't know. A genius for disappearing, maybe. He blabbed like a child in his composition. When I sent for him, he got scared like a child, ran away, and covered his tracks.
How did he get into the school files?
I don't know. All I know is he destroyed anything that might lead to him. Stewart has run away, and we have got to find him.
Just to find out, is he smart?
No, Miss Telford, to find his friends. He's the only lead. Surely I don't have to explain. What would the Pentagon pay for a disintegration beam? How many millions would an element transmuter be worth? If we could teleport, travel by mind alone, how powerful would we be?
My goodness.
Mr. Herod, this professor's almost got me convinced. How about you?
Mr. Warbeck, your caper makes us look like pikers. Thanks for letting us cut in on you. We'll pay off. We'll find that kid.
It's been suggested that children are really alien creatures, thinking their own strange thoughts to themselves and performing incomprehensible alien acts in their own private world, which no grown-up is ever permitted to enter. Is Stuart Buchanan a doorway to this alien world? And if he's found, what will his world be like? Act 3 will tell us in just a few moments.
If you went into a Buick dealer's between now and April 30th, do you know what would happen? Well, if you ordered one of four cars with a list of specially selected options, you'd get a vinyl top at no extra charge. Like that Skylark over in the corner? Order one with sport mirrors, a rally tilt steering wheel, body side stripes, and vinyl buckets, and Buick pops for the top. To find out about other cars, talk to your Buick dealer. He knows all that stuff.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you when you're ready. So Northwest Federal's open 63 hours a week. If you work evenings, you can come to Northwest Federal 6 full days. Working days, Northwest Federal's open Monday, Thursday, and Friday evenings. And if the only time you can get to Northwest Federal is 8 o'clock in the morning, well, that's okay, too. Because Northwest Federal has early bird service every morning from 8 o'clock. There are 4 convenient Northwest Federal savings locations, Irving Park, 1 block west of Cicero, in Des Plaines on Dempster, just east of the Tri-State, at Harlem Irving in Norridge, and at Algonquin and Golf in Arlington Heights. Come into Northwest Federal Savings on your way to, from, or between work, shopping, or home. Anytime, because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours.
It's Northwest Federal Savings time, 63 hours a week.
Beware, beware of the big green dragon that sits on your doorstep. He eats little boys, mommy duck tails, and big fat snails. Beware, take care, beware.
Bella, Bella on a rant.
And big puppy dog snails, and yeah.
But that was actually from Glenn or Glenda.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, he did a lot of ranting in that movie for unknown reasons.
Well, Ed Wood knew why, because it was Bela Lugosi and. People would pay bucks to see Bela Lugosi in a movie again.
Yes, no matter what he did.
That's right.
Good call.
So what do you think about our story now? We know a little bit more about the boy, even though they didn't like Spinnick.
Nope. He'll never be a one-eyed sailor, that's for sure.
Yep.
CW hopefully did not wrap herself around a tree.
Yeah, well, she's kind of quiet at the moment. But perhaps she has us on mute, which, you know, has happened to a lot of women in my lifetime.
I've been put on mute many times in my married life. And probably wisely, I would think.
I would think so, yeah. Same here. Oh, my.
Shutting me up is sometimes the best thing you can do.
good luck with that, too. Yeah. Good luck with that, too, I'm sure. Yeah.
It's true. The man speaks the truth.
You know I can hear everything you're saying, guys.
I was thinking you had us on mute there. Yeah.
For safety reasons, yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, you should see the condition of that tree, too.
better the tree than you.
That's right.
Exactly. But, wow, I'm liking this. Who is hustling the hustlers, and should I change my last name to Buchanan? Did the heirs ever claim any of that cash?
I know.
No,
right?
the lawyer was saying that was a con anyway. So I don't know if there actually ever was any Buchanan cash there.
Hmm.
Well, why take chances?
That's right. For a small retainer, we can check this out for you.
Yes, moose and elk, we're always there. We're always there to take your money. Anytime, any place. Anyway, anywhere. That's Moose and Elk.
You're a very good spokesperson.
Oh, thank you.
Kudos. And
thank you. Just like a bad neighbor, Moose Elk is there.
That would be a bad neighbor. Bad neighbor. You know, the neighbor that always sues you for everything that happens. Yes.
Yeah.
You washed your car and it rained, so I'm suing you. Yeah.
That's right.
How dare you?
How dare you allow rain to get on my car?
Indeed. Well, that water you use to water your lawn, it's too wet. I'm suing you for that.
It's wet water. Sorry, I'm fresh out of dry water. You got any?
Well, but the question is it hard water or soft water? That's what I want to know.
Because
that hard
water,
you know, that can beat the hard water can beat down those grass blades, you know.
Oh, there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, hard water. We call it ice. Call it ice cube.
Yes, we call it ice, sleet, hail.
Ice baby.
Ice baby. Ding ding
ding ding ding. Ding. Isn't that the one they got? No, that's the other one. I was thinking of Milli Vanilli. I got busted.
Nope.
Lip syncing.
Yeah. Nope. That there's a Grammy in the Grammy Award Museum that no one is ever going to collect.
Yep.
The writers couldn't collect it. The actual people who sang the song that didn't do the lip syncing.
Everybody
yeah.
got screwed except.
Pretty much. Except, of course, the agents and the lawyers.
And
they got
the
money.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
yes, the record company.
Yep.
Just like the class action thing. The good
yep.
guys
Absolutely.
Don't get it. The good guys don't get it.
That's right. Good guys
That's
get $2.77. That's it.
Exactly. So just remember, folks, when your water is too wet, when your toast is too toasty, when your air is too airy, you can sue them.
Yes. And when your ear is too
sued.
Eerie. Your ear is too eerie.
Eerie. Exactly.
Let us wrap up our wonderful radio program. We'll have some bonus time for some more fun.
Yay!
Whee! And everything even works. Thanks, Blog Talk. Thanks, GLW. Gradually losing. Anyway, it's a long segment, 19 minutes. We'll see you in about that long after the Boy Wonder.
Dun, dun, dun.
Are Stuart Buchanan's friends working miracles with their wild talents, discovering disintegration beams, matter transmuters, teleportation? If not, does he have a wild imagination? And if he merely imagined all this, why and how has he disappeared without a trace? The only answer is to find Stuart Buchanan and question him.
Eat him up.
Walter Herod, attorney at law, is explaining to the boy's teacher how this can be done.
It's not possible for anyone to vanish without a trace, Warbeck.
Even a genius with a wild talent for crime?
You've been blundering around chasing after Buchanans in the phone book. There are other angles. You don't run after a missing person. You look around on his back trail for something he dropped.
Mm-mm. A genius wouldn't drop anything.
All right, let's grant the kid's a genius. But a kid's a kid. He must have overlooked something. He forgot about that composition. And we'll find that something. Now, where's that school of yours located?
Jefferson Park.
Any busing?
No.
Then it's a neighborhood school. The kid's family must have lived around there. Let's go. Over there, Professor. The 800 block. Stop.
Oh, what's this address?
Jefferson Park Post Office Substation. You move out of a neighborhood, you file a change of address card with your post office. Now, wait.
Well?
No.
And what's this?
Election board. All voters are registered.
If a voter moves from one election district to another, provision is usually made that a record of the transfer be kept.
Ah, clever. Stewart could hardly think of that.
No, I'm hoping. Wait for me.
Well?
No.
Now what?
Gas and electric company. All subscribers must transfer their accounts if they move. If they move out of town, they usually ask for their deposit back. They're a record.
If Stuart Buchanan can break into Consolidated and destroy their records, he's a better man than I am.
We'll see. Wait.
Don't tell me he's a better man than I am.
Yes. All right, let's go. Motor Bureau.
No, huh?
No. All right, let's go back to my office. I can't stand any more disappointments.
Hi, Mr. Harris. Hi, Professor. Any luck?
No. You?
Well, maybe yes, maybe no.
Please, don't be mysterious, Joe.
I'm not. I'm spooky.
What about?
Well, me and Daisy and Charlie the Clown been covering the Jefferson Park name.
What? You let Charlie in on this caper?
No. Just brought him along for window dressing. He gets along great with kids.
Yes, and?
Idea was to locate one of this Stewart's little pals and find out where the kid went.
Well, did you?
Nah. But Charlie located the block where the Stewart kid used to live.
Good.
Daisy took off to find out what real estate company handles the block.
Oh, that was smart.
And Charlie the Clown took a powder.
He what?
Disappeared. One minute he was with me, the next he was gone.
Did you see him go?
Yeah. He was walking behind me. When I turned around to tell him something, he just wasn't there.
Holy saints, what have we got ourselves into?
You think Stuart Buchanan had something to do with his disappearance?
What else can I think?
Well, there's got to be some rational explanation. We're going up to the Jefferson neighborhood, Joe, and look for Charlie. Warbeck, stay here and mind the store.
Office of Walter Herod, attorney at law.
Oh? This isn't Mr. Herod.
Miss Telford?
Yes, you must be the professor.
In person.
Could you put Mr. Herod on?
Not here.
Then Joe Davenport.
Same answer. They both left to do some looking.
For, I shouldn't say it on the phone, for you know who?
Yes.
Well, I did some finding.
Not you know who?
No, but close. Got him here.
Got who, Daisy?
The manager of the RG Realty Company. He was in charge of the building where you-know-who used to live.
Daisy, you're a marvel. Bring him up to the office right away.
I can't. He hasn't got time.
That's all right. Then I'll come to him. Where are you now?
The Bristol Cafe. Third booth from the back. You'll recognize me by my black coffee without sugar.
Oh, I got here as fast as I could. Where's the manager of RG Realty? Couldn't he wait?
Oh, he's still here at the bar.
What did you get from him so far?
Well, he doesn't remember the family much. Kind of vague, you know?
Yes.
He remembers the family signed a lease for a four-room apartment in the Jefferson Arms.
Uh-huh. Did he show you the lease?
He couldn't.
Why not?
It wasn't in the files. It was gone.
Oh, I might have known.
Everything about the family was gone.
We've been wondering what kind of wild talent Stuart Buchanan has. Maybe the boy is a thief genius. How does he get at every trace, every record, and destroy it? Now, what's taking RG Realty so long at that bar for? Are you sure he didn't take a powder? Run out on you?
No. His hat and coat are hanging right here. He must be at the bar. In a check jacket. Oh. I don't see any check jacket. Do you?
No. Three men there, and nobody checked. Daisy, I'm afraid we've lost another.
Oh.
I think he's knocking us off one by one.
right, Warbeck, cool it. So the kids licked us straight down the line. Well, I've got a gimmick. They lived in Jefferson Arms. Look up the house phone number in the book.
I know it. There was a Buchanan listed at that address, and I checked them.
Well?
Moved out, gone, the janitor told me.
Great. That's our solid lead. Call the janitor.
Well, he told me everything he knew, and it was nothing. Buchanan lived there, left, period. Hello? Oh, Mr. Rysdale, I'm that teacher, Mr. Warbeck, who talked to you before about... Yes, yes, that's right. Well, I've got a friend here who wants to ask you something else. Here you are, Herod.
Now, hello. Yeah, well, listen, sir, when anybody moves in or out of a building, the janitor... Oh, excuse me, the super takes down the name of the movers in case they damage the building. Well, yes, I'm a lawyer. I know this. It's to protect the building in case an action has to be brought, right? Yes, that's right. Now, who moved the Buchanans out? Yes, yes, I'll wait. Yes? Oh, thanks. We've got it made. Made, made. The Avon Moving Company, truck number G4. Now, this is why you're here, Daisy. Warbeck and I couldn't get anything from the Avon movers. They had no record of moving the Buchanan family.
Well, the kid was pretty thorough.
I'm dying to meet him.
But they did have a record of the men who worked truck G4 that day. We contacted one of them, and he's going to meet us here in this bar after he quits.
What for?
To tell us everything he can remember about the job.
Including where he moved the Buchanans to.
So why me? You want I should ask him something?
No, 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 Daisy. I want you should soften him up, you know.
Oh.
Ask him. Here, hold it, hold it. This must be the guy. Oh, good evening, Mr. Moore. It is Mr. Moore?
Yeah, Patty Moore. Are you the lawyer guy?
Yes, Herod.
I've been thinking about what you asked me on the phone. And I asked the rest of the crew... All we can remember about that Jefferson Park job is that it was an all-day proposition.
Why all day?
Because it took us all the way to Helengon from Jefferson Park.
Where to?
Old Town suburb.
Old Town?
What street in Old Town, Mr. Moore?
Maple something. Maple Road.
What number?
I couldn't remember.
That kid again.
Well, we know the street, and I think Daisy may be able to coax Moore into remembering the number. Daisy, love, why don't you and your friend Patty Moore... Daisy? Daisy?
Where'd she go? She was right there. She just up and
gone. Just like that. Gone. You got that Old Town street map, Joe?
Right here. There's Maple Row. 12 blocks long. See?
All right. 12 blocks, four apiece. We cover every house and every apartment. Now, we've got to be careful. It looks like any time anybody threatens to get close to the kid, he wipes them out, yes?
No argument here.
All right, so we drive out to Old Town Park... Start the screening operation, but we meet at the car every half hour and check in, right?
It'll take forever. There's a million kids per square inch in Old Town.
There's $1 million a day in it for us if we find him. Now, let's move it.
Professor? Present and accounted for, thank heavens.
Where's Joe?
Coming. I got mixed up. In a stickball game.
Did you case the kids playing in the street, Professor?
I looked them over. No Stuart Buchanan.
And we don't know whether the kids playing on Maple Row live on Maple Row, so we stick to the apartment search. Any leads so far, Joe?
Nope.
Professor?
Negative.
Nothing in mind yet. All right. Let's keep trying. Any luck, Professor?
Not yet. You?
No. Where's Joe?
Last time I saw him, he was down the street trying to sidestep a potsy game.
Only girls play potsy.
Only girls. No Stuart Buchanan.
Where the devil is Joe?
Is he always on time?
Always.
Well, maybe he got a hot lead.
You believe that?
I want to believe it.
What do you really believe?
That Joe got too close.
And the kid got it.
But how?
Same way he got Charlie the Clown and that manager and Daisy.
Maybe Joe got scared and quit.
No, not on $1 million.
Tell it, how does a kid do it?
I'm scared. So am I. You want to quit now?
We can't. If the boy's that dangerous, we've got to find him.
Oh, we know what to do. We both covered Joe's sector. I'll take the right side of Maple Row, you take the left. We meet here every half hour, and we'll be strictly on time.
If Stuart Buchanan lets us.
And if one of us is late, honk the horn as a reminder. Make it too long, one short. Got that? Let's go.
Take Herod. The boy has a weapon, something he invented with his wild talent, something silly like the others. A special light, maybe, that murders people, wipes them out like Daisy, and... Oh, what is going to happen when Stuart Buchanan grows up? What's going to happen when the rest of them grow up? He's somewhere in Herod's sector, right side of Maple Row. This block, destroying us one by one, smiling to himself, a vicious, killing genius. Stuart! Stuart Buchanan? Can you hear me? I'm here, Stuart, waiting for you. Stuart? 85, 90, 95, 100? Anybody round my base is it? Stuart Buchanan! Come out! Come out! Wherever you...
Stuart Buchanan, come out, wherever you are. Where is he? In an alley behind Maple Row, deeply involved in a game of hide-and-seek, aged 10, wearing sweater, jeans, and sneakers, hiding behind ash cans, determined not to be caught. He looks up at the sunset sky and sees the evening star and whispers, "Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. Wish I may, wish I might. Grant me the wish I wish tonight. I wish that anybody who tries to bother me would go away forever. I'll be back shortly."
Hi, this is Lloyd Bridges with a favor to ask of you. Would you take a minute, just 60 seconds out of your busy day, and listen? Really listen to the radio? I wouldn't intrude like this, except that I have an important message for you from the March of Dimes. Now, here it is. America's number one child health problem is birth defects. Not measles, not mumps, not the common cold, but birth defects. And the speed with which science finds the answers to that problem depends on you, not someone else, you. Your generosity to the March of Dimes will add to the fund that supports the massive research needed to find those answers. And if you won't help, can you be sure anyone will? And if no one helps, can any of us ever hope that future generations will see the day when every child will be born free from the threat of birth defects? Please, before you go back to business as usual, show your support for this vital work. Give generously to the March of Dimes.
Stuart Buchanan is unaware that he has disposed of Warbeck, Herod, Joe, Daisy, and scores of others who disappeared forever, that he has forced his parents to move from Jefferson Park, that he has wiped out almost every trace of himself, in his innocent desire to be left alone and happy. He is unaware that he is a genius with a wild talent. The power of this boy wonder is for wishing and making his wishes come true. And I sincerely hope that none of you has a wild talent in your family. Our cast included William Redfield, Robert Dryden, Ken Harvey, Martha Greenhouse, and Dan Arco. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I would possess her soul with patience. She's mine. She's all yours.
19th Precinct, Sergeant Sloan.
Sergeant, I hope it's a false alarm, but I happen to pass by 221 Collier Place, and I'm sure I heard a woman screaming, you know, as if she was being murdered or something.
But I didn't do it, officer. I didn't do it.
You'll have to come along with us, Mr. Mason.
But she was dead. She was already dead when I got here. Sergeant, you have to believe me.
It doesn't matter if I believe you or not, Mr. Mason. Your problem is going to be with a judge and a jury.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre.
Macabre.
Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Macabre.
Yes, macabre. Macabre.
Macabre. Hey, here we go with another fine episode from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
With perhaps something we can learn from this amazing tale.
I thought we could. Eerie House Radio proudly presents A Garrulous Moral of the Story.
Yes, apologies to Gar. If you can't find someone who isn't there, then you're probably looking in the wrong place. That's it.
I like it. That really wasn't good. That didn't deserve a flush.
No, it's akin to that wonderful bit of sage wisdom from Buckaroo Banzai. No matter where you go, there you are.
That's right.
It's true.
All right. I have 14 things you can do while being invisible from OdysseyOnline.com.
Oh, wait a second. Here we go.
Wonderful little magazine there. So here we go. Number one, you can haunt your friends. Follow them into their house and cause a ruckus. Two, sneak into movie theaters. Free movies. What do I have to say? Three, sneak into the pantry and grab a snack without judgment. Late night snacks all you want. Duh. Four, reenact Hollow Man and play Kevin Bacon, America's favorite son, and feel what it's like to be in an MTV Movie Award nomination film. Sign me up. Number five, wear a mask to pretend to be a floating head. Just another way to spook your friends out in case you wanted to. Number six, hold objects so they float. Oh, no, a floating jar of peanut butter. Number seven, win every game of hide and seek. You stand out in the open and you'll win. Number eight, eat some food as people will watch it disappear. And even everyday activities can be fun. Nine, go around pantsing your friends. Even praise can be done. Not everything can be good. 10.
Dancing.
Not have a perfect attendance. You'll say here, but they won't see you. 11. Avoid anyone you don't want to see. Whether it's an ex or someone you hate, just use your visibility to slip out of the situation. Number 12, avoid responsibilities. Chores? Invisible. People asking about your social life? Invisible. People being rude? Boom. Invisible. Number 13, be an expert on Ding Dong Ditch. Never get caught and have the adrenaline rush? I'm down. Number 14, brag about being invisible. Be the envy of the town. But don't go into the locker room. Don't be a pervert with your power. No one likes a peeping Tom. So there you go. There are the 14 things you can do if you're invisible.
Very nice.
So what would you guys do if you were invisible?
I'd get slapped a lot.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm sure we've all had that former boss, that former manager, that former supervisor who thought that they were absolutely infallible, perfection incarnate. Wouldn't it be absolutely fabulous if, I don't know, some things on their computer, they sent a naughty email to the CEO and the CFO and the president and vice president about old sassy things, and it somehow came from their computer all the way through the corporation. Let them try and explain that one.
Nice. Nice.
Sounds like a job of experience to me.
I'm sorry. What? What happened? Yes.
Note to self. Be kind to CW.
Well, there you are.
Right.
And remember, always clean the keyboard off. No fingerprints. No fingerprints. There you go. But I digress. This particular episode is reminiscent of The Twilight Zone with Billy Mummy, where you had that kid with the superpower that made people just sort of...
Sent them to the cornfield, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he kept them in line.
No kidding.
Or out to the cornfield you go.
Exactly. That's the power. You know, there are a lot of people I have met that, you know, if they just sort of vanished, I really don't think too many people would miss them. I know I would not. I think my Mr. Hyde is coming out instead of my Dr. Jekyll.
That's all right. He's more entertaining. No.
Yes, he is. So we got a little bit of extra time here tonight, Dale. Whatever shall we do?
Oh, I don't know. I think maybe I'll reach up there and give that wheel a pull. What do you think?
Oh, please do. Yes, can do.
All right, up to the dais here, and reach up to the top and give it a tug.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
This is Roger with Animal House. Today, as we do every once in a while, we play our little game of letting you listen to the sounds of various animals and birds to see if you can identify them. Here they are. Let's see how well you did. The first sound. Now, that was, of course, the famous Schleppin' Wolf. It's the dog that hangs around supermarket parking lots and begs for Twinkies. Next. That was the Baltimore Oriole, asking for more money this year. And next. The mosquito before and after lunch.
Wow.
Next. A wood woodpecker working on the plastic panels of a 1968 station wagon by mistake. Next. A garter snake, recognizable by the snapping of his garter. And next. That was the well-known long-eared dog, the Bugle.
Okay, Copper, I sing. He done it.
There you have the typical stool pigeon. Well, that's all for today. This is Roger Archer.
And that's all the time we have for News Radio 22.
That's kind of fun. I think we got time for a couple of songs yet, too.
Ooh, cool. Oh,
nice.
Saw a cute movie. I'm not sure how old it is. Not very old. And for a new movie to capture my attention like that, it was really good. There was almost zero adult level stuff to it, too. You know what I mean? It was enjoyable, and safe, in my opinion, for any age. It's called Love and Monsters.
Oh, okay.
Love and right. Monsters.
Love and Monsters.
Yep.
Remember who was in it?
No.
Okay.
But I'll find out. I have a feeling it was kind of low budget. I don't know.
Some great movies are low budget. Not everything has to be a multi-billion-dollar conglomeration.
Dylan O'Brien. Jessica Henwick, and Michael Rooker is in it.
Okay.
And it's a 2020 movie, actually. I saw it on Pluto the other day. Yesterday.
Oh!
Or no, the night before last. Night before last.
Sounds like it may have been an indie flick.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Could be.
Yeah, I love indie movies. I mean, with all due respect to the big, you know, big motion pictures, which I enjoy, you know, the Marvels and the DC Extended Universe, Universal Extended, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes a nice indie film will really just grab you. I mean, look what George Romero did in Night of the Living Dead. That was made for what we consider now the movie, the money we take to the grocery store.
Yeah. Now you have to take a mortgage to go out to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Not me. I just got myself a reverse mortgage from Tom Selleck.
There you go. Good man.
Now I can afford that bag of chips and that box of cereal. And I can almost afford a quart of milk. Ooh,
you know
what? I'm living hard.
So ridiculous, a bag of chips, as you mentioned. You got these big ass bags filled with air, and
yes.
You know,
and two chips.
I bought a bag of Funyun type stuff the other day.
Yeah.
And it was like 2.6 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
For $2.
Was it like $5 or something?
$2 for 2.6 ounces. Yep. Really?
Terrible.
Jeez. You know, isn't that the size of stuff we used to put in our lunches?
Yep.
2.5 ounces, something like that?
Diet Coke, all the Coca-Cola products are insanely priced right
now.
Oh,
all sodas are out. Unbelievably high now.
Ah, Faygo is still a goodbye, though. Faygo is still a goodbye.
I have nothing to do with the sodas. I will indulge in occasionally a sparkling mineral water from time to time, which is outstandingly insane as well. I mean, mineral water with a little bit of fizz. I mean, what?
Crazy money.
What? I know. I mean, are they putting strands of platinum in there? You know?
Yeah, no.
Really?
Only in their pockets. Only in their pockets.
I guess. Well, you know, folks who are listening, Moose and Elk are coming out with a brand new water. It's called Air Water. And just for $5, for a pint of air water, you get just lots of air, maybe some moisture in there, but it is guaranteed to not do much of anything.
Yeah, there you go. A pail of air.
Look for that in your favorite grocery store.
We've had a pail of air here.
There you go.
Yeah. We have had a pail of air here. Yep.
Well, you can purchase. You can. You can purchase canned air, actually.
Ah. Oh, and another little movie trivial point here. I was watching Big Jake. Came up on Pluto. And the dog in there, Dog. The dog's name was Dog. And I'm like, this looks like a collie, but the color ain't right. They dusted it all brown. Because one of the two dog actors was Lassie Jr.
Ah.
And looked too much, and the markings were too much like Lassie. And so they tried to make it look. People for a long time thought it was an Australian Shepherd. And it's a good old rough collie. With powder makeup, and Weatherwax didn't like that. I would love it if we could do a show on dogs. Look up
that would
Bobby.
Be cool.
Yep. Look up. I discovered the story of, and unfortunately, especially since I'm studying silent film right now a little bit, because I will when I start hosting again. I want to specialize in silent films, and unfortunately, only half of a particular film is missing. Called Call of the West. It is the true story of Bobby the Wonder Dog. Bobby the Wonder Dog was a Scotch Collie. Okay, very much like the Rough Collie, but a little different. Little backstory, the family that had him, they had a farm, and they decided to sell out the farm. They were going to get a restaurant in Silverton, Oregon. So they sold the farm along with the dog. Well, the dog decided, no, I'm not sold. And he walked all the way back to, you know, he found them. He actually found them at the restaurant. So they felt bad. They went back and paid the guy for the dog. They said, obviously this dog, you know, has decided we're the family for him. And they go on a trip to Wolcott, Indiana. And they take Bobby with them. Now, Bobby's about 2 years old, so he's just, you know, barely a grown dog. Just as they're getting ready to go home, like right as they get to the first stop, the first gas station, a pack of three stray dogs chase Bobby off, and they lose him. They're looking. Well, brokenhearted, they go back home to Silverton, Oregon. 6 months later, you know this is coming. Bobby shows up beaten up. His pads on his feet are like almost worn to the bone. He's ragged. He's whatever. They figured that dog traveled about 2,500 to 2,800 miles from Indiana to Oregon. Oh, in the winter by himself. It's an amazing true story. And it's really hard for me to believe, although no one could prove it, that Eric Fleming wasn't influenced when he wrote the story of Lassie. Is that not cool?
Lassie,
or what?
Yeah, Lassie come home. That's cool. So what do we have happening next week on Erie House Radio, Dale?
Oh, we're turning back the clock. So you know it's time travel time.
Time moves on. Yep.
Time moves forward. Yep. With Seeing Ear Theater? What? All right, we're going to have to check that out. And Family Theater, that's on Friday. And then Saturday at 6:30, CBS Radio Mystery Theater comes back with The Winds of Time in about 90 seconds or so, a little less. It'll be Garth the Ghoul at those Twitches. Portable Horror starring Garth the Ghoul, that is. I want to thank GGSI Paper for dropping in on a Saturday. How cool is that? Good old Bob Fontaine, as always. We love you guys. And we'll see
you
next Friday at 6:30 Eastern. Right here.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Bring the medicine.
And you dig it.
Lots of it.
I can dig it. I dig it.
I knew you could. I knew you could.
Dig it with a bulldozer.
Wasn't that some skit from Saturday Night Live? Can you dig it? I knew you could. I'm still trying to remember the reference to that.
I can dig it. I really dig it. What was that one? Bridget the Midget, the Queen of the Blues is what I'm referring to. The Ray Stevens song. I dig it. I really, really, really dig it. Get down, sir. Get down.
A great skit that introduced the one and only Little John Rinaldi, Bridget the Midget.
Yep.
That was one of his early skits.
That was his first one. His first one.
It was his very first one?
That was his very first one. Ooh. His very first speaking one was Half a Head of Lettuce.
Oh, yeah.
I've often wondered, I suppose I can look it up on the internet as soon as I get internet access again, but what
I wouldn't know what
was,
that's like.
Yeah, I'm sure you have no clue as to how that feels, especially since you guys pay for it. You poor, poor thing.
A lot of women have said that to me. You have no clue, Dale. You have no
clue. That would be, yes, it would be, yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
Why was in the book Lassie Come Home, Lassie has always been a female. Why were all the dogs weatherwaxed had? Why was Lassie a guy? I mean, was it for the size? Because male dogs tend to be a little
larger?
Lassie
was intended to be a female. Weatherwax got Pal is the name of the dog, actually. That's why they named my dog Paladin. Pal. He sold it, actually, to a friend, and then he heard about them making the book based on Eric Knight's novel, and he gets Pal back. The guy later tried to claim that Pal was still his, but no. Anyway, he was supposed to be only a stunt dog, and they did have a girl dog, and there was recent some flooding, and they thought this is perfect. We could have a, struggling dog coming out, swimming across the river and whatever. That female dog refused to get in the water. Pal got in there and just did everything like perfect. He dragged out. He looked so pathetic, came out of the water, didn't even shake himself off, which is hard to tell a dog not to do, and lay down and look all pathetic. And it's like, it was like a 5-action shot and this dog did everything. And they're like, yeah, no, this is Lassie. This is Lassie. And Weatherwax was very, very lucky. After the, I think Pal was in maybe 5 to 7 movies. When that ran out, it looked like they were kind of out of a gig. They owed Weatherwax some money, and he wisely got the rights to the name of Lassie. In lieu of some of the money they owed him, it was like $40,000, and we don't have the Garculator with us, but that was a lot of dough the real early 50s. So he hit the road with Lassie, Pal, and they would go to like grocery stores and do 20-minute presentations. Pal/Lassie would do tricks and whatever, and finally they got the idea of doing a Lassie TV show. And, of course, Pal was it. Pal only played maybe the first couple episodes with Jeff when they first started it. All the ones that you see with Timmy, that's the dog's name, Lassie's, or Pal's son's name was Lassie Jr. So that's kind of how, it got to, he was like the first cross-dressing person on TV to Lassie.
Oh,
Milton Berle beat him. Milton Berle beat him.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think Lon Chaney Sr. probably beat him as cross-dressing. Remember that he did a silent version and the talking version of, what was that, the Terrible Three or the...
Oh, that's true. The Unholy Three.
Yeah. The Unholy Three, yeah.
The talking version.
That was in the movie.
Only
that was in
talkie
the movie.
Remaining that's yeah. known anyway of Lon Chaney Sr. And
did
you
Lon
realize...
Chaney... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, Senior, that's the only talking movie that we have of him. And it's amazing because not only was he a man of a thousand faces, he did quite a few voices.
He did. Yeah, he was a true actor, that's for sure.
Did he ever do any radio that anyone knows of?
No, not that I'm aware of at all.
No, and oddly, it's very difficult to find his son on radio. Dave and I have talked that on a number of occasions. We were lucky enough to do a Lon Chaney Jr. show quite some time ago. We found him on Abbott and Costello.
Right. And he did one of the early Inner Sanctums, but that's one of those shows that just they can't
lost.
Find anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's probably drifting somewhere out there, either in cyberspace or sitting on someone's tape recorder, molding in a basement or an attic someplace when people were recording stuff when they could off the radio.
And it's kind of odd because I can't even find him in any of those command performances or any of those World War II shows that went out to the soldiers, you know?
It went out into space.
It did.
Some alien somewhere.
Can you imagine if you were able to retrieve the signals from outer space and then transmit them back? You'd find so much information.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All those lost radio shows. I mean, collections can be completed and archives can be updated. And, oh, my gosh, it'd be incredible.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's just entertainment. Think of news and everything else as it was originally broadcast back in the day.
Yeah, and lost episodes of the BBC, and I think there's a couple of the original Doctor Who with the first Doctor, William Hartnell, that are incomplete or partially missing. They're flying out there. What I wouldn't give to see one of those. Ugh.
Yeah. I wonder how much radio there was. Dave, you would probably know this more. There can't be like a whole lot of radio from the 20s that has survived.
That has survived? No. No. There's a few transcriptions that survived, but most of what happened in the 20s was done live or pressed on the record and played off the record.
Mm-hmm.
From the 20s, yeah.
Them records got to be around. Maybe a couple.
They just may be.
You just wonder what kind of entertainment there was.
I think we came from where we are now, kind of. Basically, I think there were people who were, it was news and people spinning some records that were out there.
Yeah.
It's kind of what a lot of it was. I know one of the first major events covered by radio was KDKA covering a presidential election in, about 28, I think, was a big, big, big thing. Probably the first major event covered by radio.
Yeah, it probably really wasn't until the 30s or 40s where everybody had a radio, much like it wasn't until the 50s and 60s till everybody had a TV. Pretty much.
Because even in sports, baseball would actually be reading a ticker tape, especially if the team was out of town. They'd be reading a ticker tape and kind of reenacting it live on the air as it was coming through.
Wow.
So that's how early radio was done, before they could figure out how to get microphones to stadiums and such.
They probably used in really rural areas the telegraph, you know, the dot, dot, dash, dash, dot, dot thingy.
Yeah.
The Marconi, as I think they called it in Britain, the Marconi. How much information is just dot, dot, dash, dash floating in space because that was transmitted?
Yeah. It's all out there, man.
Ooh, the juicy, juicy secrets that are out there.
Oh, yeah. And the aliens will know all.
They'll know everything. You really, really, really want to know?
They'll just be really far behind us, that's all, you know.
There was a good Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories. In fact, I think Milton Berle was in it, Dave, wasn't he?
Milton Berle made an appearance in that one, yeah. About these aliens that came down because they saw I Love Lucy and shows like that and made their own versions and, you know.
Yeah. They just loved American TV, and they happened to land in Hollywood.
In Hollywood, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
And the movie Galaxy Quest, you've seen Galaxy Quest, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When they say, well, you don't think Gilligan's Island was real. They say, those poor people. Oh.
How did they not kill Gilligan? Or made an indentured servant out of him or something. Well, he kind of was anyway.
He was.
He was Skipper's lackey, but...
Pretty much.
It was a charming show.
It was. Critics hated it.
It was a great diversion.
Yep.
Speaking of great diversion, starting Monday on Hulu or other places when it comes available is the History of the World Part 2. And I read a review on it. The guy didn't like it. And then I saw a preview of it. It looked great. You know, he wanted to compare everything to. So Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles, you know, which you just can't do.
No, those are different films altogether anyway.
Yeah.
Holy cow, that is so silly. That is like, that's akin to when Hitchcock was still doing his movies in Great Britain. If you wanted to compare that to, say, Psycho or, that's insane. I mean, his British movies were... Moray of the time, they were kind of boring. They were good, but they were kind of boring.
Yeah.
And you want to compare that to what he did for Psycho or Family Plot. You can't. You just can't.
Well, it's like everybody comparing every film Orson Welles did to, you know, Citizen Kane. You just can't do that, you know?
I remember seeing Family Plot in the theater, CW. That was my first exposure to Bruce Dern. It was only a little bit afterwards that I saw Bruce Dern in Silent Running, and I just thought the world of him. I love that movie.
Yeah, Laura Dern's father. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother, I'm ashamed to say I can't remember her name. She's an actress as well in her own right. Bruce Dern, he also was in, what is it? It was a movie that was a remake of the movie The House, not The House on Haunted Hill, but it was a movie remake with Catherine Zeta-Jones, Liam Neeson.
Are you sure it wasn't House on Haunted Hill?
No, that's the one with Vincent Price.
Oh,
no.
The Haunting of Hill House, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, Bruce Dern was in there. He was the gatekeeper, the gardener as well.
Yep.
He was in there. So he can play very insidious characters as well as that very sympathetic character in Silent Running.
Yes.
He was also a villain for Clint Eastwood in Hang 'Em High.
Oh, yes. He did his Western stint. He also did an episode of Big Valley that I saw on YouTube.
He was also in the Zanti Misfits. In the
Yes, he was.
That's right. That thing still freaks me out. I mean, I know the special effects are really sort of weak now, but there's still something about those bugs that I just want to get a can of Raid and a baseball bat.
Yeah, I think that was the stop motion animation gave it that creepy feel. They used actual stop motion for those instead of just rubber masks and stuff.
Yeah.
For some
all
of
in
them,
all,
some
television
of them were props, but some of them were animated.
Yeah, all in all, the television didn't have a whole lot of special effects at that time. They kind of, I was reading about it, and they were saying how they were really kind of inventing certain special effects as they were doing the show, and then like taking a negative and reversing the negative, and for one of the shows and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, they were stealing it from Hollywood, but they did it on the cheap because remember Ray Harryhausen was very young, but he was already doing stop motion. They did stop motion for what was it? Lost World, and that reverse thing they did in, I think, something Millier, the guy who did the silent films.
Yeah,
they did some of that as well. I think what was his name? Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula. He used some of those techniques, albeit more modernized, but techniques in his lensing of his version of Dracula in that were from that era. He used it in that one.
Is that the one with Keanu Reeves? No.
Yes, Keanu Reeves as Jonathan Harker, Sir Anthony Hopkins as Van Helsing.
Good choice.
So, yeah, and Sadie Frost was in there as well as the redhead as Lucy.
Oh, yeah, and I forget the gentleman's name that played Dracula. He's so, he was also Commissioner Gordon in some of the Batman movies.
He was Commissioner
Gordon. What the hell's his name? I can't remember.
Gary?
Oldman.
Gary Oldman. Thank you. Sorry about that, Mr. Gary Oldman.
And it was
also,
Dr. Smith.
Of course. Dr. Smith was in there. I think, who else was, had a wonderful selection of performers in there. That now I'm totally blanking out on. Darn it. But, yeah, I remember Anthony Hopkins was in there. He did very good Van Helsing.
Yep.
And I love the color scheme of that movie. It had all
very dark.
Dark, muted colors. That were
a little reminiscent of Browning's Dracula. A little bit. The scenes in Transylvania were reminiscent, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
On the way to Borgo Pass.
Oh, yes, Borgo Pass. I'd love to go there just to go see Dracula's place. I mean,
it would be cool. It would be cool. Erie House field trip.
All right. I mean, true. I've seen it on Google Earth. I mean, I've practically been in the backyard of the place on Google Earth.
You looked it up?
Yes, on Google Earth. What is on Google Earth? You can find Area 51 on Google Earth.
Ooh. It's a little aliens waving.
Yeah, but then you get people coming to your house with sunglasses on. You know, that's not cool.
Yeah, that can be disturbing at night.
Yeah.
Unless they're invited.
Yeah, there you go. And you see that big flash. Little do they know. Man, I've been playing video games for 15 hours. That just doesn't cut it anymore. That just doesn't work. My eyes are already glazed over.
Oh, the little flashy thingy that makes you lose your memory?
Yeah. Sorry, my memory was totally lost after playing all those multiple hours of Overwatch, Unreal Tournament, and Halo. I'm gone.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so awesome. She's a gamer.
I am.
All right, gang. I better hit that long, dusty trail. Some well wishes, hopefully, for my Joey, who's been very ill.
Aw.
Well wishes, Mighty Joe. Well wishes, Mighty Joe. Yep.
Exactly. So my last task of the evening, without further ado, I see him in the distance. He's waiting at the keyboard. Mr. Durante, take us away.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. What more is this
night,
say
Joe.
But good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Good night, folks.
Wait for the singer.
Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.
Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.